Philip Morgan.
Liston.io. Good to see you, man.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm kind of jacked up for reasons. I feel like someone gave me an injection of whatever they put in Bane, you know, that that cartoon character. I'm kind of jacked up. I don't know why. How are you?
I'm good, man. I had a thought that we never identify this podcast. Should we say something like what this is or why people are listening, or should we just skip that?
Well, I'm inclined to skip it, but since you brought it up, I feel bad about skipping it. So, hey, the floor is yours.
All right. So, welcome to Offline. If this is your first time listening, let me be polite here and let you know that Offline is a podcast for consultants to hear how two online entrepreneur consultants talk when they're not actually online. So you'll hear the background story of what the hell is going on with what we think and our businesses that we don't otherwise share online. Is that about right, Philip?
That was beautiful. I mean, it was full of like apparent contradictions that I think resolve themselves somehow. Love it. That's sort of part of what this show is to me, is exploring contradictions.
Apparent contradictions. Cool, man. Well, what would you like to promote today, Philip?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Right.
Something.
This is going to come to it at a come as a great surprise to folks that I would like to promote something called Specialization School, which is a thing I do. It's a series of three workshops followed by one open-ended coaching program. And the next round of workshops are coming up October of this very same year, 2018. We'll see how this goes. I'm going to be open up all three workshops. So there's one on helping you make the decision about how to specialize. There's one that's optional on doing deep market research to understand and gain insight into a market. And then there's one on basic lead generation. So I may end up talking about the open-ended coaching program actually a little bit later in today's episode. I think I have an interesting story that relates to our topic today. But the first workshop is the one I've offered the most. There's been the most demand for that. And there's a cohort that just wrapped up today. I just wiped a tear from my eye as I said, today's our last Q&A meeting this morning. And again, I just feel a little boastful saying this, but people are getting the results that they were promised when they signed up for this. And I don't think they're saying that to me just to be nice, because we're in a context where they are free to say what is actually going on. And over again, it's like, well, I feel good about the decision I'm about to make, and I've done this research, and I'm confident that there's enough competition and all these things that you need to understand in order to make a decision about how to specialize. They're saying those things are happening, and I'm like a proud papa. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you guys are moving in the right direction. So this is one of the best services I've ever offered. It really does work, and I can just promote it with a sense of pride. And I do feel a little bit like I'm bragging, but I think the results are there to back that up. So folks at home, if they're interested in any of those things, none of which have anything to do with sales, that's all Liston's territory. But if you're struggling with stuff around specialization, you might want to check out specializationschool.com.
Love it.
How about you, Liston? What do you got to say today about?
So the thing I'm promoting also has to do with what we're talking about today. And so it'll be fun to kind of dig into the behind the scenes of how the business works with this. But what I'd like to promote is Consulting Sales Bootcamp. So my coaching program starts in a very, very structured way with my program to help you understand and improve your ability to sell and maybe even end up being something at least approximating an influential leader, because it'll change the types of clients you're able to get. It'll change the rates that you can charge, and it'll change the way you even talk about your business. So Consulting Sales Bootcamp is an 8-week program, although it comes with 3 full months of group coaching and group accountability. And the next cohort is starting October 9th, but for reasons you're going to learn soon, will eventually be a monthly rolling enrollment, but we'll get to that in a second. If you want to learn more about it, you can go ahead and sign up to be notified when it starts, but it is October 9th, and you can go to consultingsalesbootcamp.com www.thebrainfarm.com.
Sweet.
Yes, sir.
That's funny to me because I think you and I both started a round of workshops, I mean, within a week of each other, and it's now twice that we're doing that, and I'm kind of looking for more weird synchronizations in our life now.
It's like we're pregnant together, Philip,
basically. Yes, our menstrual cycles have aligned.
Exactly.
So why don't you tee up today's topic?
Sure. So on July 9th, I started the first round of consulting sales boot camp, which I called a beta program. And I cut the price way down and I was totally open with everybody about it never being done. And then I'd kind of be doing things live as we went. And the feedback has been amazing. And like, I'm not just saying that. I've solicited a lot of feedback and I've been surprised at how minor the feedback is. So I'm really excited about the way it's going. It's really making a difference for people in it. However, there's a catch. So my wife and I had been talking for many months about going on vacation. And as I built this new iteration of my business, what I really wanted to do was help more people simultaneously and bottle up some of the best stuff that I have and teach it in the best possible way every single time. And of course, this is where this idea of a course or an online learning experience comes in. But if I'm doing it for 8 weeks at a time, it really limits my personal flexibility in my business. And it's also a bit of a buzzkill because if someone says, oh, I'm not available to start on July 9th, I have to say, okay, well, October 9th, mark your calendar. I don't know, 3 months. Do you still want to talk to me?
Right. Yeah. The weather's going to be different. Everything's going to be different 3 months from now.
Exactly. We're going to be in a trade war, obviously. Like, who knows what the hell's going to be going on, right? Right. So I got to thinking about this model that I had chosen, which we call open cart, closed cart, right? So
yeah.
You can only enroll on this date. And if you don't, you're going to have to wait at least a quarter usually in order to enroll in the next one. And it comes with lots of trade-offs. And then the other version would be kind of open enrollment or rolling enrollment, meaning maybe every month or even anytime someone wants to join, they can join. And I think there are problems with that as well, which we'll talk about. So what we want to talk about today is how you, Philip, and I are attempting to scale the number of people that we can impact through our coaching while still juggling and balancing this open and closed versus rolling enrollment and how to choose what's best for both us and our business and the people who are paying us to improve their own businesses. And it's not a small issue. It's actually a pretty large issue. So that's what we're going to cover today.
Yeah. And it might be interesting to start off by saying, when I look at our actions, you've demonstrated a greater willingness to bring in help in the form of people. But the way you've done that is, I think, really smart because it's been, I'm not going to hire an assistant and try to like a full-time person and just try to figure out, go from 0 to 60 and figure out how to keep them busy. But I'll bring in part-time slices of people's time for specific purposes. How many assistants are you up to now?
I have 4 people on my team, all part-time. Okay. And the person who works the most is, I think I hired her as a marketing assistant, but she's kind of just like, just get shit done kind of person. Yeah. And she's great at that. And then I have 3 people playing various roles on this podcast and Liston.io show, my other podcast.
Yeah, I think I see someone hiding behind the potted plant behind you right now. No, I'm kidding.
Well, that's my office don't know. Gnome, of course.
There is no potted plant there. But you've demonstrated a greater willingness to bring in people. I have been really reluctant to do that, mostly out of fear, honestly, and just also, I mean, a little bit of like, okay, how far can I push this one person thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But both of us are not trying to build a team or like a, we're not trying to build an agency. Let's say that. We're not trying to build,
right. Yes.
Oh, we've got an office somewhere with 6 people doing creative type work or tackling big projects. We're both trying to scale ourselves in a variety of ways.
Right. So let me just add to that, because the way I'm thinking about it and the way I have thought about it is I do want to build a team, and I know the three roles which I would fill first, but I don't want anybody else ever selling their expertise through my business.
Right.
That's just not in the cards. So to your point, not an agency, decidedly not that.
Yeah. And just so for the folks at home, it's probably important to be reminded that that's a goal and a constraint all in one. It's like we both have a pretty specific vision of what we're trying to build from the staffing perspective. Because to me, that really has implications on the conversation we're about to have.
Okay.
I'll throw it back to you, Liston. Maybe you can define real quickly, like what's open cart, closed cart? There's going to be some folks who know what that means and others who don't.
Yeah. So the people who are fortunate enough not to have a ton of exposure to internet marketing maybe won't know what it is.
That's right. It's a blessing, trust me.
Right. But the way you see a lot of courses and online programs sold is open cart, closed cart. So it would look like this. You get a series of emails saying, on this date, this thing's going to open and we don't know when we're going to open it again. And it creates this sense of urgency where if you're having the problem now or you've been thinking about it for a while, it's really trying to push you into doing something today or at least in the near future, because there's also then a sense of FOMO, fear of missing out. What if I don't do it and then this terrible thing happens in my business and I should have had the right knowledge, information, support, whatever it is that they're selling. So that's the open cart, closed cart. Is usually it will open at least once a year, sometimes as often as quarterly, but not more than quarterly, so that they can solidify the urgency and the fear of missing out inside of you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Ramit Sethi has a few, one or two that maybe are monthly, but basically, yes, exactly what you said.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that because I don't want to get into a semantic discussion, but I was thinking of doing mine monthly and I wouldn't really consider that open closed. It would just be like starting on a monthly basis for the support that I can give and the support that they would receive throughout the course. It would make more sense not to start it ad hoc, but to do it every month. So we can talk about that in a second.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing because we are talking about things that are not self-paced online info products. These are experiences, they're events, they're activities that for specialization school, when a group starts, it's like they're all trying to march through this together. And every Wednesday or Monday or whatever for a month or however long the workshop is, there's a meeting. And the expectation is, please show up to the meeting because that's your opportunity to get questions asked live. Anyway, so these are the types of things we're talking about. This would certainly be different with a pure sort of info product thing that doesn't have like a real life engagement.
Yep, agreed. And so one of the things to consider as you're doing, if you're thinking about offering a course or a group coaching program or something that could have this open close cart characteristic, is you're betting a lot on every single launch, right? So you really need it to work in order to make money, because you know, by definition, 3, 6, or 12 months from now will be the next time you do it again. And so if your primary source of revenue is this launch, there's a ton of pressure, which then gets you to do what I would consider in many scenarios as kind of spammy or slimy tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not making your number, it doesn't look like you're going to hit your goal. You start to get desperate. And also your revenue is not spaced out evenly through the year. So rather than having monthly revenue sources, now you have quarterly or semi-annual, let's say, if you do it every 3 or 6 months. And so it lends itself to all kinds of problems from a revenue standpoint as well.
Circling back a little bit.
Please.
I wanted to talk about for a moment, and I think I can almost speak for you, Liston, the reason why we both have arrived at this model of we're not selling pure information products. Although I do sell a book that's a pure information product. But I think the expectations are clear about what you get with a book. There's this idea, though, that hopefully is starting to become out of date, that you can take the same content that you would have in a book, format it as a course. Liston can see me making big air quotes around it, an online course, And it's like magic because you can sell it for 3-4 times what you would sell a digital book for. But there's no accountability. There's no interaction between the students who have purchased this course. And there's not this like show up for a weekly accountability meeting or show up for a Q&A session. There's none of that. And so the information marketers get really excited about the amazing scalability of this model. But I tried something like that, that went even further than that. And it had like free coaching, on-demand coaching bundled in with it. And I've been very disappointed with the results. And I don't know that you've necessarily tried that exact model, but you've been a consumer of products like that. And I imagine that's part of why when you envisioned the consulting sales bootcamp, you made some choices about how to put that together. And the choice was, I'm not going to do that as a totally like hands-off digital product. It's going to be an experience. It's going to be an event that people participate in.
So the primary driver of me making an online learning experience rather than a DIY course, like buy it and good fucking luck, you know, which is right. How most of these go, is I know the data. And the data says 95% of people who buy these courses forget about whether they're successful or not as a result of the information and the strategies and templates and whatever else that they've consumed. Forget about whether that's successful. 95% of people don't even complete the course.
Right.
Right. So only a subset of the remaining 5% would be successful by definition, and it would be a minority.
Can I stop you right there? How do you feel about those numbers? Because to me, those numbers are offensive. Like, I want nothing to do with that. Does that just sort of rub you the wrong way?
Well, so two things. Obviously, it's bad for the consumer, right? So right there, that's enough for me to say I would never do that.
Yeah.
Maybe not never. That it's enough for me to say I would never sell at a very high price point for something that I know will fail most people.
Right.
And the second thing I would say about that is it's no way to build a long-term business.
Right.
There's no way that you're going to get referrals and word of mouth, which is the only real flywheel you can get out of your business. There's no way for you to build that if most people are failing and therefore probably won't say anything good about what you're doing. So I think from a practical perspective, it's a really shitty way to run your business. And also from an ethical perspective, just like, am I doing right by the world while I'm making a living? I think it's the wrong thing to do also.
Yep, I agree completely. I don't really have anything to add there. So that's us for the listeners to understand, like, we've arrived at this model. And it's not like Liston and I planned this all out. It's just we ended up at similar points for similar reasons.
Yeah, exactly. And let me add to that. So then the question, of course, is what's the alternative? Yeah. And so I looked around and said, what's working? And I have a good friend who runs essentially a productivity business. It's called lifehackbootcamp.com. That's an unpaid mention, by the way. I don't get paid for it. And his name is Demir and his wife's name is Carrie, and they run the business together. Mm-hmm. And they've had enormous success rate with their clientele. And the reason is largely because there are live mechanisms and there are accountability mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So I started looking around and saying, okay, who else is doing something like this? And a mutual admiration between the two of us for Seth Godin.
Yeah.
What he's doing, he's claiming to flip that 5% completion rate on its head. And he's saying 95% of people are completing his courses. And first of all, I think he has more gravitas than you or I do. No offense to you, but
hey, you're right.
Right. There's something to get a piece of learning from a renowned expert in a field for, say, $3,000. It's actually pretty cheap because I paid more for really crappy college courses.
Yeah.
So it's actually pretty inexpensive. But he also has accountability. He also has the live mechanism. And he does peer groups a lot. And so that's mm-hmm. one of the mechanisms that I included. So yes, this is not completely DIY. This is somewhere between DIY and done with you. Like, I'm not going to sit there and fill out your paperwork,
yeah.
but I'll give you feedback on what you're doing and I'll answer your questions in real time. And you'll have a peer group who you can go and trade stories with and say, hey, can you give me some feedback on this? I'm stuck.
Yeah. So that model, which we both are already seeing like way better results from than any sort of pure DIY info product. It comes with some challenges, right? Like on the administrative and delivery side of things.
That's an understatement. Yeah.
Right. So that's starting to get to the heart of this question is like, if the challenges were complex enough, then I would be incentivized to try to do this open cart, closed cart thing, which it may appear that I'm doing that. And I guess I am. But to me, that's a transitional thing because I want to get closer to what you're talking about with rolling monthly openings. But the first challenge is people can't just click a buy button and start right that instant because they have to wait for the group to kind of all be together and start on the same date.
So this is a question I think I've probably asked you 50 times when I started my coaching business was, if you're doing group coaching, how do you handle the fact that some people started yesterday and some people started 3 months ago? And they're going to have different problems. They're going to be thinking different things. They're going to be at different points in their progression. They're going to have different levels of exposure to your content. There are all kinds of problems that come with that. So the nice thing about the open close cart thing is if you have a group component to it, everybody starts on exactly the same date.
Yeah. Folks listening might be interested that, like, I see both sides of this because I have a sort of open enrollment group coaching program called the Positioning Accelerator Program. And the way that works is when someone wants to join, we have a short conversation. And if there's an open seat, I'm like, great, looks like there's a fit. I mean, of course, if there is a fit, you can join anytime. Here's a payment link. Once I get payment, the process will begin and you'll drop in on the next call. And that'll be when you start. So it's exactly that. And what I've probably told you as you, when you've asked me that question is, well, it's imperfect, but at first for the new folks, they're getting to see a range of what the whole process looks like. And they're at a certain point in that process. And so I just kind of divide up the time on the call and spend time with each person, but it's in a group setting, but I'm just focused on them for 20 minutes. Then I move on to the next person, focus on them for 20 minutes. And I think that's interesting to people because they're seeing this sort of broader perspective on what the whole process is like of getting good at marketing. That's what I mean when I say the whole process. And they might be focused on some very specific part of that, but they're seeing what other people are doing and they're learning from that. And then I think after 6-9 months, they're sort of like, okay, I've sort of seen where people could be on this spectrum and I get it. There's not that much new anymore, except what I'm working on and what my challenges are. And that's where that format starts to work a little less well. Coincidentally, that's about how long people stay in the program. So that's fine. I'm not trying to keep people there longer than they want to be there. And I think it's really designed to be a sort of, I'm going to give you some assistance getting through a transition, learning a few things about how to do marketing yourself, and then you're going to be off on your own. So that's how that works. But again, it's, you contrast that with everybody starts on the same date and goes through the same process. That's a very different learning experience. It's the same sort of thing, though. You get to see what other people in the group are facing and doing, and you see different perspectives, but it's on a more narrow range of problems.
Definitely is. And my feeling was for the experience of people in the course, or I keep trying to discipline myself not to call it a course, in the online learning experience, I think everybody could follow along.
Yeah.
It's definitely better for people in the group to be at a similar place, right? Mm-hmm. They may be at different places in their business, but the equalizer is the shared experience of them experiencing the group coaching together. Yeah. And so if I go to this rolling model, instead of I'm going to do consulting sales bootcamp 3 times or 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. If I go to the rolling model, that becomes the start of coaching with Liston now. It's no longer consulting sales bootcamp, in my opinion. It's just a structured way to begin with my coaching. And also, if I'm doing it every month, I don't need now 10 or 12 people to sign up simultaneously. If I have 3 or 4, I can build a business on that.
Let me stop you there because I need clarity on what you mean by the rolling model. So folks can join, let's say, the first week of every month. That's like their entry point.
Let's say the first Monday.
Okay. What happens from there? And do you ultimately end up with a group of people who started on different months, or are you keeping, let's call those groups cohorts? The cohort that starts on the first Monday in January, are they always their own independent group, or do they later join a larger group? Do you see the question I'm getting at here?
I do. So here's my hypothesis, because I haven't done it yet, but here's what I assume based on the current group that I have. So I currently have 7 people in the program. Uh-huh. So I have 2 group accountability sessions.
Okay.
I do not participate in those at all.
Right.
My belief is, and also with feedback from other programs and directly from some friends, my belief is 4 is the right number of people in these peer accountability groups.
Got it.
So let's say I'm starting 4 new people every month. Ideally, I'd like it to be more than that, but let's just say 4 new people every month.
Sure. That keeps the math easy.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them 3 months of access to the group coaching. And I'm going to give them, I think, forever access to the content, I believe. And then I'm thinking of some other ways to leverage the content. But let's say they get that. That would also give them 3 months of group accountability sessions that I set up.
Okay.
So month 1, I have 4 new people. That means in month 2, I have 4 people who are already a month in and 4 new people.
Okay. So the 4 new people, the curriculum is dripped out over time.
Slow down, Turbo. I'm getting to that.
Okay, 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 great.
I'm just going to give them access to the curriculum like right away, I believe, rather than dripping it out. And the reason for that is some people want to move a little faster. Some people like to skip around. I don't have a big problem with that. But what I'm going to recommend is to do it sequentially over 8 weeks.
Okay.
But they'd also get, let's say they do it sequentially over 8 weeks and they stay on track. That third month is just a month of support, essentially.
Uh-huh.
But that's included in the price that they're paying. So if in month 1, I have 4 new people sign up, month 2, I have 4 new people sign up. Now I have 8 total.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do, I believe, is limit the group coaching sessions to 10 people, which may mean by month 3, I need to create a second group coaching session.
So you're adding another slot on the calendar where folks can show up for group coaching.
It's like office hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come ask me anything, right? And I'm going to divide. We have an hour together. 6 people showed up. You each get 10 minutes. Go. I'm just going to go around my screen.
Come at me, punk, with your questions.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then each of those cohorts of 4, they would meet in their group accountability by themselves without me. That's a mechanism that will keep it small and manageable as well. Did I answer your question?
Very much so. Yeah. So in those group coaching sessions, it's like my Positioning Accelerator program. You've got folks at all different points of progress through the curriculum. They're coming in with different questions. Some people are asking really basic stuff. Some are asking more advanced. And like me, you're counting on that being interesting because the basic folks are like, oh, wow, I learned a little something about something I'm going to face down the road. And the advanced folks get to feel superior. No, I'm kidding. They just, maybe it's not a problem for them.
I think the reason that I'm arriving at that,
yeah,
not being a problem, is the content spurs so many questions for people. And sometimes the content spurs questions in week 1 that I'm going to answer in week 7. But it's not like I'm not going to tackle that, right? But what I found is the diversity of questions is so great that I don't necessarily need to focus. I don't need to make it where it's like, okay, we're only going to talk about module 4 this week. Like I'm not going to field anything else because it does seem valuable to other people. And I've even had people say, oh, I had the question that so-and-so had, and it was really valuable to hear what you had to say about it because I forgot about it.
Yeah. Just as you were saying that, I'm reminded of like so many times I have to remind myself of the basics of my own freaking business. So there's benefit for advanced folks going, you know what? I've started to be lax on that basic thing. So yeah, I see that working. So how does this help you take vacations?
Yeah, great question. So if I'm doing this open shut model where I'm running the course for 8 weeks sequentially, what that means is if I'm running it every quarter, I'm very beholden to everybody who signs up versus if I'm just doing these all the time, I'm in a position where I can tell people, hey, I'm going to be gone 2 weeks. I'll just extend the life of whatever you paid for. So if you paid for 3 months, now you get 3.5 months, but 2 of those weeks I'll be gone. I'm feeling like that's not going to be a hard pill for anybody to swallow.
Right.
Versus if it's like, oh my God, I've been waiting 3 months for this and now you're going to leave. Like, it feels like the stakes are, I don't want to say lower because I feel just as responsible to deliver the same amount of value.
It's more flexibility, right?
Yeah, I have much more flexibility in my schedule. So for instance, if I'm pegging it to the calendar 8 weeks at a time, I was thinking, well, maybe I would pre-sell an August cohort, but I couldn't do that because my wife and I already have vacation planned in September. And so now it's just like, okay, do I tell them? And then that interrupts the next time I'm selling it. And the other thing is selling it, Philip, and I don't know if you felt this, but I talked to some people and said, they were like, I can't start on July 9th, or maybe I'd be open to this in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
When's the next one?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know, which is a terrible answer.
I know. I'm thinking of like, if you have frequent flyer miles and you want to book an airline ticket, they have, aren't those called blackout dates?
Right.
When you just, you can't use your frequent flyer miles to fly on those dates because they're high demand for paying customers or whatever. So it feels like you have a lot of blackout dates when you're doing this every 3 months model.
You have a lot of blackout dates and yeah, it's just less flexibility. I think also it's a buzzkill.
Yeah.
So if I'm talking to someone today and they're like, this sounds amazing, when can I start? And the first Monday at the time of this recording, we're recording it on August 1st. The first Monday is August, what is that, 6th.
Yeah.
That's a much better answer than October 9th, which is what I'm telling people right now, which feels, I think, if you have an urgent problem now, that feels like an eternity.
Yeah, it may as well be forever.
Right.
If you're like, you just walked out of a sales meeting and you're like, fuck, okay, I'm reaching out to Liston. I'm going to do something about this. Meaning you walked out of a disappointing sales meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So I'm really not trying to totally subject you to all my annoying questions, but I feel like with some things, you want to avoid overwhelm in the learner. I hate that word, but the person who's like participating in this transformational experience, you want to help them avoid overwhelm.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe for my workshops that dripping out content every week is the right choice. There are people who've told me I could have gone through this a lot faster if I didn't have to wait for the content. And I think I would have liked that. And I get where they're coming from. But there's also others, and I feel like it's really the bulk of folks where they benefit from having to wait for the content to come so that their attention is focused on do these things this week. That's all you have to worry about. Don't worry about what's coming. The portions are appropriately sized. So it's a 4-course meal and you don't have to feel like you're going to get overwhelmed with dessert or whatever. Terrible analogy. Anyway, do you feel like that applies in your situation? And I'm not challenging you on this different model. I think this different model is right. I'm just curious your thoughts about the pacing of the content.
Full disclosure, I'm creating the content as I go right now. So it's de facto being dripped because I post it when it's
done. You're still
done.
In content hell, buddy.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not hell. I mean, I don't want to say that because I really love what I do. And like, I'm very motivated to work long hours to make this happen.
It's just a heavy workload right now. Yeah,
it is. And like things are being published, maybe not in real time, but very close to real time.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't release the rest of the course content right now because it's not made.
Yeah, sure.
I do think there is a lot to what you say. So like if you and I bought an old Corvette and we said we're going to restore it,
right.
You don't sit down one day and go, okay, so we're going to restore it all next weekend. You say, okay, what do we need to do to the transmission? Let's focus on the transmission.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or let's repair the driver's side door. So is that a better analogy, by the way?
That's pretty darn good. I'm impressed.
Okay, good. So I think you're right. I think there is something to dripping it out. Going into this, that was my preferred method. I think I see some benefits to giving people access to the whole thing. because maybe they want to go through it quickly. Like, really, they could probably do the whole course in a week if, like, they just put everything else aside and just did the fucking work. And they're like, you know, it's a slow time right now for me, and I just want to get through this so that I can have all the questions I can bring to the Facebook group and to the group accountability sections and the coaching sections. Like, maybe they want that. And I guess I feel like I don't want to take that away from them, but I do know, to your point, that some people would definitely be better off if they weren't distracted with building the whole car and just focusing on the driver's side door for now.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I forget, what are you using to deliver the course? Are you using Doki or something else?
I am. Yes. Our mutual very good friend, Marie, her product.
So you could do it both ways. You could give people a choice with Doki. Like, that's very easy to do, to say, okay, if you want to start out with the weekly drip and then you find it's not fast enough, let me know and I'll switch you to the resource library format, which is Doki's term for, here's all the content, go knock yourself out, kid.
Right, go nuts.
Yeah, or self-paced where you're clicking like to unlock the next module, but the student is doing it on their own timing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I guess you could do it both ways. I guess I made a mountain out of a molehill there. You could probably do it both ways if you wanted. Once all the content's there is what I mean.
Right. Correct. Once it's there, it's a game changer, right? Because it's just like, I then have maximum control over when it goes out, how much access is granted. Also, I get to do cool things like build bonus content for people, which I look forward to doing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, so you were saying you're doing kind of an open shut model right now, where you're giving your different aspects of specialization school, say every 3 months.
Right.
How do you imagine transitioning? Because this would be a question for me if I had more than one offering, and I don't right now. But how do you imagine transitioning from that to a more rolling model, whether it's, yes, you can join any time or even every month, I think is probably closer to what you'll end up doing. But how do you imagine that transition going?
Like I said earlier, this, let's call it the open shut model, really was a transitional thing for 2018. So start of 2018, when I was getting all this off the ground, I knew I would need some time to build the content. And that took about the first 6 months of 2018. I just wanted to make this manageable. Like I mentioned earlier, I haven't had the sort of willingness to probably do the smart thing and bring in some kind of assistant. At some point I may have to, but let's say that's in the future.
Yeah.
I knew I would be bandwidth constrained, and I just was trying to be realistic about what I could accomplish. And I said, well, I can build the content in the first 6 months, and that gives me the rest of the year to just go through the content with some paying groups of students more. And I think my first paying group of students was in March of 2018. So I've already had, let's talk about it in terms of cohorts, which is a group of students who sign up for a particular offering of a workshop. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I've had 5 cohorts through specialization school thus far. 3 of those were on the first workshop, and 1 was on the second workshop, and 1 was on the third workshop, just so we're all clear about where I'm at. So I would like to, like, in my mind, specialization school is a big part of the future of my business. I see it probably eventually killing off the demand for the Positioning Accelerator program. Mm-hmm. And that leaves private coaching and specialization school and some book and some kind of future info product type offerings, as those are the sort of 3 sources of revenue for my business. But how do I get to the point where I can really have the lion's share of revenue, let's say, coming from specialization school? And that was your question. So I think what it's going to look like, Liston, is basically I offer the first workshop, which is the, some people can skip that because they've already made the decision about how to specialize. But that becomes the entry point for most people, let's say 80% of people. And I probably offer that 10 times in 2019. And it's basically aligned with each month. And that gives me 2 months for vacation or downtime. Or maybe I offer it 9 times and I have 3 months worth where I'm sort of not tied to the calendar and the clock the way I would be. Because again, the way this is done, there's a meeting every week for each workshop. So if I have 3 workshops running simultaneously, that's 3 1-hour meetings a week where I need to be in front of the computer and on. I need to be sort of teaching, if you will. So anyway, I think the first workshop becomes something I offer, let's say 9 or 10 times in 2019, and it's aligned with the month. So I can do essentially what you're doing, and I can say you don't have to wait more than a month, with a few exceptions, to get started. And then we'll see how the demand goes for the second and third workshops. Those I might offer less frequently. And that's where I think I'll be at for 2019. Beyond that, I just don't know. It's closer to what you're talking about, except the cohorts always remain separate in mind. They don't collect into a coaching group that might have members of different cohorts.
Well, and I think the primary reason for that is all of your groups or your classes or modules only go for a month, right?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, it would be from a scheduling perspective, yeah, so much easier if they did.
Yes.
But the content demands different timetables. So the first workshop is 4 weeks. The second workshop is 12 weeks. The third workshop is 6 weeks. That was as much of a squeeze as I could go on the content.
Interesting. Yeah, I've thought about that a lot and even thought, well, what if I break this into two separate things? And I just thought, well, I can't deliver the result that I want to deliver in that time. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you can make more workshops, I guess, and each workshop accomplishes less. But anyway, this was good enough to roll with for a couple years to figure out how this all works. And I mean, it's amazing to me that I'm talking about in multi-year timeframes, but what I'm trying to help people do is somewhat ambitious, and I think that's the appropriate time frame. So
yeah.
Anyway, it complicates scheduling. Like, of course, I could run multiple workshops simultaneously, and that may be what happens after 2019, as I hope and am working towards increasing demand for this. Maybe it looks like that, or God, I really don't know what it looks like past 2019. But yeah, that's what 2019 probably looks like. It's closer to that rolling monthly model.
I use Asana for my project management. It's what we use for this podcast.
Yeah.
And they released this timeline feature. So kind of like a Gantt chart, imagine you can drag things and create dependencies and you can see it on a linear month by month timeline. And around mid-June, I started to realize all the timing issues that came with this new model.
I'm thinking that would be kick-ass for specialization school for figuring out this calendar. Yeah.
Dude, you need it. Trust me, like you need it.
Okay.
Or something like it.
Yeah.
Because I put on my vacation. I put on when I'm going to promote and sell this. When am I going to do a live event if I want to do that? You and I have talked about doing that. By the way, dear listener, if you're interested in a live event featuring Philip and I and maybe some of our friends, please write us because we're sort of exploring that and we're in the early stages of it. So yeah, just email me directly, liston@liston.io. So, you know, this is the first time ever in my business in June did I plan out the remainder of the entirety of the year.
I know.
I'm already sitting here going, I really need to plan out all of 2019 right now.
It is wildly different.
Not only that, I just feel like the more professional I become about my approach to things, like our mutual friend, Carl Sakis, he emailed me today and he's like, I'm speaking at these three events for the remainder of the year. Are you going to be there? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like I don't plan that far ahead. And what I really should be doing is figuring out where am I going to be speaking next year at this time?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's like the next level of professionalism is sort of what it feels like. But it's also a signal that we make money in different ways. When you're doing client work, it's more reactionary. It's like, okay, well, the client says, hey, we're starting this project on this day. Does that match up with your availability? And they're sort of in the driver's seat about timing. And then when you start, it happens subtly for me, but now I'm more in the driver's seat and I'm still getting used to it. It's a crazy, awesome, weird feeling.
Yeah. Now, I did want to go back to something that you mentioned both in the intro and in your answer a second ago, which is hiring people and having help and bandwidth. How does that affect the way you choose to do either open, closed, or rolling enrollment for your programs?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing I was thinking I would talk about that I sort of forgot. So for people to give me money for specialization school, something happens in between them wanting to do that and them actually doing it. And that is we do a brief 30-minute call to check for fit.
Right.
Well, that's me. I suppose someone could be trained to do that. I shudder to even think what that would involve. That's me saying, yeah, I think this is going to be worth it. No, I think you need to wait, or I think this is not the workshop you need. You need something else. You know, it's me saying a variety of things. And I get busy with these kind of calls a month before a workshop, because workshops can hold up to 7 people. So that means I might be having 10 calls. And I know that maybe some folks are like laughing at that idea, but it really kind of clutters up my schedule. It breaks things up so I don't have as much time to think and write. It has an impact, and it's good because it leads to revenue, but it's also, it competes with time for other things. Now I'm thinking, okay, well, what if people can sign up for the first workshop essentially any time, 9-10 months out of the year? I'm starting to worry about how I handle those calls, or maybe I have a different process, and maybe it's like, there is no call. Please just make sure you think it's a fit. Here's the buy button. And if it turns out not to be a fit and that you somehow think that's my fault, then I'm going to give you your money back. I'm not quite sure. It brings up new questions, this idea of a more rolling model, because I've really emphasized a high-touch sales process for this. I mean, relatively high-touch for something that sells for between $500 and $800.
Well, so let's talk about that for a second, because I believe that one of the reasons people want to buy this is just because I am who I am, which isn't to say I'm that special, but they want to know that I'm a real part of this.
Yeah.
And so if I schedule a sales call with them and then someone else shows up, I feel like that's ruined right off the bat.
Indeed.
And so that's never been part of my plan.
So how are you going to handle the volume of sales calls?
Well, so one way is to charge more, right? So I don't need as many conversions, I don't think. And also, I've been opposed to getting people to commit more than just 30 days in my coaching program, but I'm starting to think it's actually not, it is better if they commit for at least 3, but probably 6 months.
Yeah, you wouldn't go to the gym to work out with a personal trainer twice and expect some kind of transformation.
Right. And no trainer in their right mind would say like, oh yeah, I can definitely give what you're looking for in a month.
Right. Yeah.
Not that I've ever said that. I do say expect 6 to 12 months with me.
But you're saying the expectation is not that they're going to pay for that much currently, and you might change that. You might say it's a 3-month minimum commitment or something like that.
Right. And the price is X, or you can pay monthly, but you're still committed for 3 months and it's a little bit more every month for me to carry the financing for you.
Right.
I think that in terms of who else can pick up things. So like, you should still take the sales calls. Maybe you need to raise the price. I would argue if it's under 1,000, you probably do.
Mm-hmm.
But once someone signs up, there's all this other stuff you need to do to onboard them.
Yep.
That's where the assistant should come in.
Yeah. And that's like easily, I can see that being the least stressful thing for me to offload, because I'm not worried about quality so much. I'm not worried about the interaction or having to train somebody. It's like,
it's a checklist.
Go to this software, put in a name. Exactly. Yeah. It's a procedure, very simple one.
Yep. That's the way I look at it. I do think as you start to look at real volume, so not 4, 5, 10 people every month, once you start to look at, let's say, anything over 10, really, because let's say our conversion rate is 33%.
Mm-hmm.
That means I need 30 calls, at least a minimum of 30 calls to close 10 people. If I wanted to close 20, now I need 60 calls. That starts to become really problematic. And so there's two ways to tackle that, obviously. One is make it really difficult for people to get on the phone with you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very qualified. Another is to charge way more. So you don't need 20. Maybe you need 10 if you double the price.
Yeah.
But that has its own issues. And then the last way, and this is what I see businesses that really reach scale do, is there's no expectation that people would be on the phone with you directly. What they're learning is your way and your system. But we're not selling Philip anymore. We're selling the way that Philip created.
Right. And that's where there's like a web sales webinar or something. And it's, yeah, that'll be interesting to figure out. I think my close rate, I haven't measured formally, but it feels closer to 70%. Like when I think back over the calls, it's just the fit has been there for about 70% of people, or the fit has been there for maybe 80%. And then let's say 70% follow through with payment. So it's been better, but I know I can't expect that to stay the same as volume changes.
Well, I'd also challenge you, like 70% actually to me sounds too high. And I'm not saying like you are making up 70%.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if it is 70%, some percentage of those people, it's actually worth a lot more because
the pricing might be too low. Yeah.
It's an indicator to me that the pricing is too low.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be super interesting to see how it unfolds. By the way,
no offense to anybody thinking about taking Philip's program. They're like, oh, Liston just raised the price on me.
Damn it, Liston. You're fired. You're kicked off the podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, I'd be happy to do the same for you, dear listener. I'd be happy to help you raise your own prices.
There you go. I had thought I might talk about this advanced marketing coaching program, but we're getting close to time here, so I think I'll have to sit on that for later. I don't know about you, but this has been a really fun, interesting conversation for me.
Yeah, me too. And I think something that you and I are both very actively exploring all the ramifications of now, yeah, is certainly something that's useful for me to think about in my business.
Where are you going on vacation in September? That's another funny synchronization in our lives because I'm also now going on vacation in September.
Oh, how funny. I'm going to Nashville, Tennessee,
woo,
and I'm going to Asheville, North Carolina, and I'm going to Raleigh, North Carolina as well.
That's great. I think that'll be fun. Those are, aside from Raleigh, those are places I know pretty well. Although they've all changed a lot since I lived there.
Surely they have. I mean, it's been, what, 20 plus years since you've lived there?
Yeah. I mean, getting up there, closer to 15. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, man. So I'm really excited. And this last weekend, I went backpacking, Philip, and I think the one thing that's podcast worthy is a lot of my friends. So normally you go the first day, you kind of ease into it. Uh-huh. So we did a 6 mile hike.
Yeah.
And then the second day we were going to do an 8 mile hike and then set up camp in a new place.
Yeah.
And everybody else flaked on that second day. They all said they were too tired or they didn't want to do it. And so I day hiked it.
Uh-huh.
And I took a wrong turn at one point. So I ended up doing 18 miles in a single day by myself.
Oh, man.
And coming back to camp. So that was quite the adventure. That was a lot of fun.
Bet you're glad you were only carrying a day pack for that.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, no, that would have been a lot.
I think I have carried a backpack for 10, 15, maybe 20 miles, and it was a mistake to do that. And that was in my 20s.
You really have to have your gear dialed in so your bag is as light as possible if you're going to walk that long.
Oh, seriously. Great talking to you, my man.
Good talking to you too, man. I'll see you soon.
Bye.